Well, good evening and welcome to Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. It is your host, John Cressido, or at least they tell me such things. It is May 11th, 2010, and everybody out there tuning in, thank you so much for doing so. Welcome to Beyond Ghosts. It's been far too long. We've actually not had a brand new episode until tonight for the better part of the last month. So tonight, here we are, our brand new installment of Beyond Ghosts, and what a way to come back and get back into the swing of things. We have an exclusive first-timer who's making his radio debut anywhere in the world. Tonight on this program, Beyond Ghosts, and we're talking about one of, if not the, number one believed most haunted location in the entire beautiful state of Ohio. If you know about the area called Cleveland, you better believe we're talking about the one, the only, the Franklin Castle. And we are going to be graced with the presence tonight of the owner of said Franklin Castle. We're talking about Mr. Charles Millsaps. He's going to tell us all about the Franklin Castle, which up to this point has been largely off limits to any ghost hunters out there, whether you're a novice or a professional, aka TV ghost hunter. Nobody's gotten in legally, and you know what? That's going to change. Big announcement at the end of the show tonight for Mr. Millsaps. He's going to be doing a TV program, and you want to find out how your group, your team can get on and get involved? You better listen to this hour's show of Beyond Ghosts. So I'm going to be doing it with Brandon Bristow, and we're talking about Mr. Marty Shevchik. I'm John Cressido. This is Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal. And tonight, Charles Millsaps and the Franklin Castle, first time ever in the his house, known as Beyond Ghosts, baby. Be back in a minute. Let's make this happen.
Hey, Jude. Don't make it but take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey, don't be afraid. You were meant to go out and get her.
Come up to the lab and see what's on the slab.
Good evening and welcome to Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. Yes, believe it or not, I am still your host, John Cressido, and it has been a long time since I took that opportunity to say that, and it feels damn good, people. Welcome back to the show. Hope you people are having a great start to nearly your summer this year in 2010. And now I'm here. We have no professor. There is no professor here. We're going to leave it at that for now. But I do have two other fantastic world-class co-hosts in studio with me. And I'm going to allow my co-hosts, per the usual, the opportunity to tell you beautiful folks at home what the heck they've been doing since all them weeks ago we talked on the radio, babies. And we're going to start with my new ace number one for the evening. We're talking Mr. Marty Shevchik. That's right. Chef Chickles is here, thank goodness. So, Marty, how the heck are you, brother man? What have you been doing, and why have you been doing that, you scoundrel?
Ghost hunting. It's been full bore, sometimes 4 or 5 days a week. You know, summer's here, and we don't have to worry about, you know, dressing up in 10 layers of clothes to go, you know, ghost hunt an abandoned building or anything like that. So
no galoshes.
Yeah, it's surprisingly enough, too, here in the spring in Buffalo, it's been absolutely gorgeous, 70, 80 degrees. And the first couple weeks of May is kind of ridiculous for out here.
Yeah, it's been pretty nice, but I mean, you know, being fair, there's still a bit of a crispness to the air.
True.
Did I articulate that well, folks at home? Was that how you say it? Crispness?
Crispness.
Hey, like mates.
Yeah.
Okay, so is that all you got for me, though? You're now the weatherman?
I'm trying to stay out of trouble. You know how that goes. Parole officer says I have to.
Oh, now you tell me, right, pal? You guys are doing background checks on the show, folks. So, Marty, I'm glad you're here, my friend. And obviously, we know Ryan's out there. He's listening. We love you, Professor. But Marty's taking your place tonight, so.
We haven't made the official announcement why Ryan's not here.
Not yet, no. I was going to actually let the last guy that's going to say hello to us tonight say it, but
okay, we can let him do it.
Okay, folks at home, Brandon Bristow, that's right. Kid Candy's in the house. And Kid Candy, Brandon Bristow, how you been, pal? It's been a while. What you been doing, man? How's it hanging, brother?
It's going pretty good. I mean, you guys have been keeping me absolutely busy reviewing evidence. And
bazonkers.
I just moved, and
How'd that go?
It was a very long process, but it's finally done. And, you know, between four or five investigations of evidence that I have to get through, you guys have been keeping me busy, so.
Well, I mean, that's a good thing. Busy is definitely good, because they say that idle hands are the workshop of the devil, right?
The devil.
So, Brandon, so we're happy that you're here, and if you want to make the announcement, I guess, why, you know, Ryan, the professor, is not here tonight, it's no surprise to the folks at home, that people that follow the show, they know what the heck he's been up against.
Yeah, if you've been following...
Tell them.
If you've been following his Facebook...
It's a good thing.
We want to congratulate Ryan and his wife, Mindy, on
yes.
their first child being born.
Absolutely. Hey,
little girl, Noelle Kennedy.
That's correct.
Yeah, beautiful name, beautiful girl, and beautiful people. Yes, Ryan and Mindy, congratulations. Two of the nicest folks I've ever met. You're fantastic looking, and you have a baby now. Boom. I'm loving this. This is family night. Is that it? I'm not going to pay to say this, guys. So are we done? And action.
Action.
Okay, so is that it? Moving right along?
Yep.
Yes.
I have nothing to say, but I actually am so happy that you guys are here and we're back on the radio doing our thing. But I am completely excited and stoked about tonight's exclusive guest who is joining us via telephone. And believe me, the place we're going to talk about tonight, A number one, if you talk to people from the Buckeye State, we're talking Ohio. They say this may very well be number one on the list of all the places in Ohio that are haunted. This may be the supreme numero uno.
So you're telling me this tops Mansfield?
According to the folks out there in Ohio.
Well, we've been to Mansfield, so we'll have to check this place out.
Hoping so. We're talking about, of course, the Franklin Castle, and we have our guest tonight, the owner of the Franklin Castle, Mr. Charles Millsaps. Are you there, Charles, and how you doing, sir?
I am good. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. What is the word?
You know, just getting ready for our TV show here at the Franklin Castle. We're going to start filming in a few weeks, and I wanted to come on and let you guys know what we're up to.
Well, I'm going to stop you right there, because now, I mean, I really can't even stand up, pal. I'm so excited here. I am just, like I said, I'm stoked to talk to you. You are, believe it or not, an iconic figure in your own right because of the property that you own, but I'm sure you do know that, correct?
Yeah, I learned along the way. I always knew the Franklin Castle was well-known in Cleveland as a historic landmark and sort of a local haunted house. I had no idea that it was known as the most haunted house in Ohio, and even one of the top 10 most haunted places in the country. I didn't know that until I found it out along the way.
Well, that's a fine how do you do surprise. Let me just actually get you at this point, Charles. Do me a favor. We're just going to touch on a little bit of your background and how you actually came about becoming the rightful owner of the Franklin Castle. So please, in your own words, take a few minutes and let's see where it goes.
Okay, well, first, the castle, when the title transfers, the castle is going to go into a nonprofit that I started a few years ago.
Okay.
The castle is not now and will not in the future be in my personal name.
Mm.
And mostly that is to set the castle up in a very safe way so that even when I'm no longer around, the castle is going to be protected and set up in a structure that I'm comfortable with even when I'm not around.
Okay.
The nonprofit will own the castle long term and then lease the castle back to the Franklin Castle Club, which we can talk about more later, but that's going to be the final use of the castle, and it'll be used as a bed and breakfast and a private dining club where everybody can come and experience some good food and maybe, you know, their own ghost experience spending the night here. You know, I'm a Clevelander. I was born here. I'm going to be here the rest of my life.
Right.
And I saw the castle when I was a kid, just like many other people. I saw it in a newspaper article in the late 70s. Asked my mom about it. She brought me down here. We looked at it. And it was when I was about 9 years old that I told her, sitting out in front of the castle in our van, that I was going to grow up and do something with that place.
Oh, wow.
And she said, sure, you know, like she always did, you know, whatever I wanted to do, anything was possible. Then, actually, a few years ago, she found a notebook in my room, because my parents still live in the house that I was born in and we grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
She found a notebook that apparently when I was about 13, from the date on it, I wrote... It's like a school notebook, and on the front of it says the Franklin Castle Club, and inside are outlines and notes, and I wrote all about what I wanted to do with the Franklin Castle when I was 13. And it's basically what I'm doing today.
That's amazing.
I don't really remember writing it down, but I used to write stuff down all the time. So, yeah, she still has a hold of that. She says she's keeping that so that I don't lose it or anything.
So, Charles, this is kind of like a lifelong dream, almost?
Yeah, I mean, it is a lifelong dream. I've always had an interest. Again, my mother got me interested, and I've always had an interest in history and historic homes, architecture. I actually, at once upon a time, was going to be an architect and actually got into more of the business side of it and ended up investing in real estate, doing my own rehabs, restorations. But yeah, it's all come back around, and, you know, I wanted to do this in 1999 and didn't really feel I was ready. The house sold at that point to someone else. Unfortunately, the fire happened right after that person bought the house, and years later, I contacted them when I felt maybe they were looking for someone else to step in. And now we're ready to start the whole restoration, bring the castle back to its 1881 glory, and we're going to document the whole thing as part of a cable network TV show.
Okay, well, Charles, you know, this is a perfect segue into my next question here. Obviously, taking off the table the fact that so many people out there involved in the paranormal or just people that are into ghost stories and legends think this place is haunted, take that off the table. For you yourself, as somebody that looks at this building from a different perspective, what exactly, in your opinion, is the attraction, at least for you, Mr. Charles Millsaps, of the Franklin Castle?
I guess, you know, even when I saw it when I was a kid and everything, my attraction is I see the castle or the Tiedemann House, as it also is referred to, I see it as a piece of art. And, you know, it's in a rough shape right now, mm-hmm. but I see it, I almost see it the way it used to be or the way it's going to be. And for me, it's just putting it back together. I love the history of it. I love the architecture of it. I love the moldings, every little detail of it is really my favorite part. It's all those little details, every little piece of woodwork, every little piece of plaster. It's a big piece of art, and I just I want to put it back together.
I kind of understand what you're saying. We've worked with a location and done some charity events for the Van Horn Mansion out in Newfane, New York, which is a little bit north of Buffalo. And it's kind of like the same thing. It's completely restored back to, it's what, 1887?
Actually, I think the Van Horn is from like the 1820s.
1820s?
It's olden, yeah.
It's completely restored back to its original condition, and it's just, you know, an unbelievable place to go into. And lucky enough, it's haunted, too.
Lucky enough, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what, gentlemen? We're going to take a fast break, please. Charles, we're going to actually take our first commercial break for the evening. And don't go anywhere. Of course, I'm here with Brandon and Marty. It's John Crescito. We're talking to Mr. Charles Millsaps. And we're talking about the Franklin Castle in Cleveland, Ohio. Folks at home, don't move. You're listening to Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal. Be back in a minute there, chaps.
Hey there, it's John Crescito, the host of Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal. All you beautiful listeners out there, when you get a chance, can you please go check out our incredible website, which is all about educating while entertaining. We're talking about www.beyondghosts.com. There you're going to find out all kinds of information about the Beyond Ghosts gang. We'll be talking about our awesome radio show, which you are currently listening to. Thank you so much for doing that. But also stuff about our events, because remember, we are all about interactive paranormal, and that's right, getting all you ghost hunters off the sidelines and into them haunted houses and all them places across the country for you to do some investigaciones of your own. So check out beyondghosts.com, and we're going to have fun while we kick some knowledge about the wide open field of the paranormal, which, you know what? Remember, babies, there are no experts, just folks with a lot more experience. So, beyondghosts.com today.
The ghosts that live in your basement, you know those angry ghosts? They're going to be really pissed off at you if you don't listen to Beyond Ghost Interactive Paranormal. This is Chip Coffee from Psychic Kids and Paranormal State.
Hey there. Welcome back to Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. It is still John Crocito. That's right, Dr. Paranormal in the house. And I'm here with Brandon Bristow and Marty Shefchik. No Ryan the Professor Willard. And we're talking to Mr. Charles Millsaps. And we're talking about the Franklin Castle, believed by many to be a number one, the most haunted place in the entire state of Ohio. Now, Mr. Millsaps, we did get a chance to talk much more during the intro phase of the segment that we did before this about the history, but now we're going to take the next few minutes, or as long as we need to, what we can actually get from you as far as the history of the Tiedemann House at the Franklin Castle. Let's break it down very elementary-like, and if you don't mind, can you please take us there?
Sure. The castle was built in 1881 by Hans Tiedemann. He came over from Germany, which is actually the area of Prussia before it was part of Germany, in 1860, with his family, his servants, a business partner, and they actually lived on the property in 1860 and then rebuilt, and the castle was built in 1881. It's about 9,000 square feet. It's designed by the same person who designed his bank office building downtown, so it's very much, you know, it doesn't look like a house. It sticks out amongst even the other large homes on Franklin Boulevard. And it, I think part of that is because it does, it looks like a bank or a museum of some kind. It's the construction of it is built more like an office building of 1880s than any other house on the street. It was later bought by a brewer named Mulhausen, who began letting the German socialists use the house as a German social club. And they owned the house until 1968. A family lived here until 1976, the Romanos.
Mm-hmm.
And then a group bought it to try and use it as a church. I'm not really sure there. It didn't seem to really work as a church, but they did give a lot of tours. And they sort of perpetuated the whole haunted castle notion in the 70s.
Right.
It was then bought in 1984 by Michael Devenko, or Mickey Deans. Mickey Deans was actually Judy Garland's fifth and final husband.
Oh, wow.
So he owned it through the 80s and the 90s, and he sold it in 1999, and then I think he passed away a few years after that, around 2003. Of course, the fire happened in November of 1999,
mm-hmm.
which... gutted is probably not the right word, but it did destroy the fourth floor, which has been completely rebuilt, and it did take out a lot of some things that had been done to the house through the 60s, 70s, 80s. What's left now is all the woodwork still intact,
uh-huh.
A lot of the plaster still intact, and it's really in a good condition right now to redo all the mechanicals and then put it back together and make it look as original as we can.
Okay, very well put. So, I mean, obviously, for those people that may have not ever seen, they probably have heard of the Franklin Castle, Charles, but maybe they haven't seen it. Can you just give out a quick URL, a website where the folks that I'm listening really quickly could actually go and Google this and check out a pic of the Franklin Castle, please?
Well, my website is franklincastleclub.com. And we do have some detailed pictures of things on the inside, as well as information about what we're doing with the dining club and the bed and breakfast.
Uh-huh.
But the castle's got a lot of stuff out there. If you just Google Franklin Castle, Cleveland, you're going to find probably three or four Google pages full of different sites.
Hmm.
There's a lot of information out there that may or may not be true about the history and some mm-hmm. of the ghost things, but I still Google the castle. I learn new stuff about it all the time. I get new stories from people who contact me and have some sort of a story about knowing families or being part of the German Social Club. I'm always learning more things. I will continue to learn new stuff about the castle for the rest of my life. But yeah, if you want to see any photos or learn more about it, pretty much just Google it, and you're going to find you'd have a few days of reading to do before you got through it all.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Charles, let me ask you this. Have you ever experienced any kind of ghost activity or any kind of activity in the place since you've been in it?
At all?
Yeah, and again, when I first started here, I didn't think it was haunted. I didn't really think too much about it. I didn't think it was a big deal, and I just thought it was a local legend. But for the last 5 years, I have lived in the carriage house, a separate building on the property. It used to be basically the stables for the house. And I've experienced stuff out there over the last 5 years. I've experienced stuff in the main house, in the castle. An interesting thing, a story that's been told a few times and written about, probably at this point, it was about 6 years ago, and every time I come in the house, I turn on the construction lighting so we can see.
Right.
And as I walked in the house, I sneezed 3 times, basically because it was real dusty. I turned on the construction lighting, and as I walked back out of that particular room, there was a white cotton handkerchief, folded in fours, completely clean and pressed, looked like it had just come back from the cleaners. And it was sitting on the edge of this table that had actually was burned from the fire.
Mm.
And when I picked it up and even looked at the bottom side of it, it was still completely clean, even the part that was touching the burned up dirty table. I unfolded it and thought, you know, this is odd because it wasn't there when I walked in the room and it was never there before.
Right.
I realized at that moment that I had sneezed when I came in. And then I started thinking, okay, maybe there's something. So I actually did look up into the ceiling, and I said, thank you. And then I thought, who are you talking to? If you don't believe it's haunted, who are you talking to? But I put it back where it was, thinking it might not even be real. Maybe I'm imagining this. Maybe it's not going to be there tomorrow. Sure. But it was there every day for about 2 weeks until it disappeared. But it turned out some people had moved it that were doing some work in the house. And I got it back from them, and I put it up on the dashboard of my car above the steering wheel where I could keep an eye on it. And it was there for just about 2 months, and then again, it disappeared, and nobody knows what happened to it. So I definitely attribute it. It happened downstairs in the servants' area, the original servants' area of the house. And because of photos and video that we have seen, I definitely attribute it to a servant that her spirit seems to be very active in the house.
Okay. Now, you said pictures and videos that you have seen?
There's a certain angle in the house when you're downstairs. If you take a picture into an original mirror that's above a fireplace, sort of at a 45-degree angle, you can see the kitchen door in the mirror. And anybody who has been on a tour or I've showed the house to knows what I'm talking about.
Right.
And at this angle in the mirror, people have caught photos of this woman walking out of the kitchen who's not really with us in the room.
Yikes.
And I've seen a few of those photos, and it's very clear it's the same person, same hair, same dress that she's wearing, the details of the dress, the fringe, the ruffle, the pleats, very distinct, and they repeat, and they've shown up in more than a few photographs.
Okay. Any idea who the lady is, Charles?
I don't, excuse me, I don't know who she is by name.
Right.
But again, because she's on the first level of the house, and that level was strictly the servants' area where the servants lived and worked, she would have been one of the servants. They really didn't keep track of the servants that well. We don't have a lot of history about who the servants were or what names were. From the size of the house, the amount of bedrooms in the house that were devoted to servants, I estimate that there were probably 5 to 7 servants that it needed to, you know, to run the house. So we don't really know who she is, but she definitely seems to be very active, and it seems like she's sort of protective of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And still protective of sort of the man of the house, and at that point, that being me, you know, maybe she's still looking for that Hans Tiedemann figure. There's a lot of stories about Hans Tiedemann having one or more relationships with some of the servants, females, at that time. None of those stories have we've been able to prove are true, but you know, at this point we're talking 130 years ago.
Right.
Really hard to say what's true or not, especially when you're talking about an extramarital affair.
So you got a ghost stalker. Is that what you're saying?
No, I wouldn't say that. She just sort of looks out, and, you know, going all the way back to the first interaction, which was her giving me that handkerchief, which I really think has to do with that, which has to do with her. I think she did that.
Right. I was going to say, a ghost stalker might be kind of hard to block on Facebook, huh? Okay, so let me just say this. Now, Charles, as far as, and this is just my personal opinion, of course, you get these abandoned, big, scary houses and neighborhoods, and people automatically point the finger and say, that creepy place has got to be haunted. Okay, let's just forego that. Now, there have been confirmed deaths in the Franklin Castle or the Tiedemann House over the years, correct?
Yes. One, that was completely my opinion. It's a big, scary-looking house.
Right.
And as far as I was concerned, that was the only reason people said it was haunted.
Uh-huh.
That was my original opinion. I think that there's actually something going on here at this point. That's the reason for the TV show. One of the things is we're going to do ghost hunting on every episode.
Nice.
And the premise is that I want to know more information about whether or not it's haunted. As for confirmed deaths,
yeah.
Besides the stories of, and again, the stories have been told, mixed together, and retold. If you believe everything that is said about Hans Tiedemann, I always say, you know, I don't think the guy had time to do anything else. He was obviously busy killing, you know, everybody. but really, his mother did die in the house. She was in her 70s by the time the house was completed, and she died just after the house was finished.
Okay.
Their daughter, Emma, died at 15 in 1891, 10 years after the house was completed. They both died in whatever bedroom here in the house. Mrs. Tiedemann, Louise Tiedemann, died, if I remember right, 1895 of liver failure. The story goes that she drank a lot. Now, either she drank a lot and that's why she died of liver failure.
Yep.
She died of liver failure and people speculated that she drank a lot. They did have three infant children, I believe 6 weeks, 3 months, and 6 months, that died on the property. But technically, it was in the 1870s, so it would have been in the previous house, but still in the same property.
Gotcha.
As for servants, again, we don't know. We don't really keep. They didn't keep records of them, so we don't know if any of the servants died while employed here or living at the house. Their oldest son, August, who lived to be about 43, did die, but I believe he was living outside of the house at that time. And it does look somewhat suspicious, or at least people point to it, but Hans Tiedemann was the last person to live. He sold the house in 1907. Moved full-time into their second home, which was in Lakewood, just 7 miles west of here, and then died about a year after selling the castle to the German brewer Mulhausen. So there are confirmed deaths. People did die.
Right.
After that, the German socialist period is sort of cloudy. There's not a lot of history there, and I think, not that there's not a lot of history, there's not a lot of records and details,
right.
which I think is one of the main reasons that a lot of the German rumors about the house, a lot of the Nazi rumors, and again, there's a difference between the German Socialist Party and the national whatever Nazi stood for. They're two separate things. Most people don't know that. Most people just jump to the conclusion that the German Socialists were Nazis. Some people still say, even though they were under the guise of German socialists, they were still just hiding behind that, and they were Nazis, and there was spying going on during the Second World War. I'm not really sure what Cleveland had to spy about in the Second World War, but again, you get a lot of people jumping to conclusions and making some less than educated guesses about what went on.
Right.
But yes, there were some confirmed deaths in the house.
Excellent. How about you, Brandon? Brandon, you're up, buddy.
So, Charles, have you ever had the feeling of being, like a threatening feeling of anything going on there?
In the house?
Yes.
Wow. Ever?
No. Hmm. Although I do feel at this point that there are some, whether you want to call it energy, spirits, ghosts, in the house, I've never felt that any of those have in any way tried to scare me or have ever been evil or even, you know, anything bad. Again, from the handkerchief to other just general feelings that I've gotten, it's more of a welcoming thing. I feel very comfortable here. And not to sound, of course, we're talking about ghosts anyway, so what am I worried about? But, you know, if anything, I almost feel almost like the house and myself, that it's almost like a destiny thing. I was meant to do this, and I feel very comfortable here, and I think that whatever ghosts or spirits are here understand what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. They understand that I'm here to help out and to put things back the way they should be. So I feel great here. I always have felt drawn to it, and I don't feel anything mean or mean-spirited here.
Okay. Well, I will say this. Obviously, I mean, there was a period of, let's say, abandonment or vacancy. There was a time the house just kind of sat there, right?
Well, nobody has lived full-time in the house since the fire happened in November of 99.
Okay.
I've been on the property for approximately the last 5 years,
mm-hmm.
mostly to keep the house safe.
Right.
Even today, even hours before mm-hmm. we did this interview,
uh-huh.
I was with the police because 8 kids from a local school on the way home, I found them inside the house. They were basically checking it out, but they did break in a window to do it. So this is the kind of thing I deal with pretty much on a daily basis. So the house is empty, but it's not completely unprotected.
Right.
And there was a time in the, I would say, 82 to 84, when the church, or the guys that were trying to do the church, from the records, from the county records, it looks like they may have actually lost it in foreclosure at that time, and it did sit, I guess, the best, at that time it was sort of vacant, abandoned, whatever.
Right.
That was the only time I really would have called it abandoned was at that time.
Okay.
Charles, did they ever...
Go ahead.
Okay. Charles, did they ever...
I'll hit you later, go ahead.
determine the cause of the fire?
Yeah, actually, I was I'm walking around the inside of the castle right now while we're talking about this, and
cool.
Funny, I just happened to walk into that room. Two vagrants or homeless people broke in the castle when no one was home. It was the first week in November 1999, and from what I've talked to the police and the fire department, they thought they might have been doing some drugs, cooking some heroin, and accidentally set the room on fire.
Mm.
Luckily for them, they were pulled out alive because they were, you know, again, from the heroin, they were passed out and could have killed themselves. But that was the cause of the fire. One person actually was sentenced to 5 years for arson because of that.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break here in a minute, but real fast, Charles, going back to the idea of the not so much abandonment, but just my vernacular kind of speaks to that sort of thing, the vacancy issue. What I was kind of thinking was, if you do believe that ghosts or spirits actually do exist, I could see them looking at you, like you said earlier, being helpful and doing the right thing. You're finally trying to revitalize the property and bring the Franklin Castle or the Tiedemann House back to life, so they probably think that you're a hero in their eyes.
Well, I hope that, you know, I hope that they appreciate what I'm trying to do.
I'm sure.
I do feel like they do appreciate it, and you know, I think they have some understanding of it. Again, going back 6 years, I would have called myself crazy for even talking about that. But
right.
I do feel there is some kind of a relationship between myself and whoever used to be here and whoever's here. And, you know, hopefully that will continue, and I'll get to know more about who's still here. And, again, I think that'll happen forever, but specifically, we'll talk about later, but part of the TV show is very specific to me trying to find out more about what's going on here in the way of Ghost.
That's awesome. So real fast, before we take a break, Marty Shepard's got a question.
Well, not a question. I just want to make a statement. I'm going to have to go because he said he was in the house. He's in the house right now doing this interview, and I almost could swear we've been hearing stuff through our audio. It sounds like EVPs. I could have swore I heard little kids.
I heard it too.
I thought you were watching TV, Charles.
We're going to have to go back over this audio after we get done with the interview.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, that's funny because, yeah, I'm completely alone. The only thing I've got out here right now is construction lights. There's no audio equipment. There's no, there's nothing. And I don't hear anything myself, but, yeah, if you guys picked up anything, you can let me know later.
We will, for sure.
You guys are not giving me a break, are
you? Yeah, no, Brandon, more evidence for Bristow there. Okay, so hang on there, please, Mr. Charles Millsaps from the Franklin Castle. We're taking our second break of the evening. It's John Crescito here with Brandon Bristow and Marty Shevchik. This is Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. We'll be back in a minute. In the meantime, why don't you go check out BeyondGhosts.com. You know you want me to say it, babies. Be back in a minute. Booyah.
Wankers.
I think I'm way off base here.
Yes, you're a tad off base, sir. That thing looked like the Manson Family Christmas special.
It's time to believe in the promise of your own heart, in the promise of the promises. It's time to believe. What are we waiting for? Another sad report. Don't worry, they'll be coming in droves. Imagine what you see. Just a fancy movie, and put a happy ending on the show. Oh no, no, we say I can't believe in the promise.
Hey there, babies. It's John Crescito, the host of Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal, and I want to make a really big announcement that's going to be taking place this summer. Summertime's coming. Quick, fast, and hurry. It's going to be here in no time. Do you want to go on a road trip? Do you want to come hang out and investigate with the gang from Beyond Ghosts? Easier said than done, negatory. Let me tell you something. August 28th, 2010, if you want to come investigate one of the top 10 haunted places in North America, especially the good old US of A, meet us at Eastern State Penitentiary. That's right, Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal is due in Eastern State with you, babies, August 28th, 2010. More info, go to beyondghost.com, hit up the events page. Let me tell you something, you're getting unprecedented access as well as a longer period of time than you normally would. So normally you're out by 1 a.m. This time, babies, you're out by 2. Check us out, August 28th, 2010, Eastern State Penitentiary. You, Beyond Ghosts, and everybody else out there listening. Check our website for more info, beyondghosts.com, the events page, babies. Ooh-ah!
Hey, this is Brad Kling.
Hey, this is Barry Kling. We're from Ghost Lab.
Hey, well, we're not investigating. We're listening to Beyond Ghost Interactive Radio.
Boo. Hey there. Welcome back to Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal. Yes, you know it is your host, John Crescito, the hostess with the mostest, and they love me in England. And, of course, I'm here with Bristow and Shevchik. We're loving us some Ryan Willard. He's not here. He's home with his new baby and his lovely wife, the Willards. God bless those people. We're talking to Mr. Charles Millsaps about the Franklin Castle. Now, Charles, this is the moment of truth. You're talking about a television program that's going to be filmed on location there at the Franklin Castle, and now is the time in the program tonight, so we're going to actually talk about it. So however you want to start us off, let's go there, Mr. Charles Millsaps.
Well, you know, that's why I got a hold of you guys, and I have to say, even though I probably will do a couple more over the next few weeks, this is the first ghost radio show that I've ever done.
Thank you.
So I wanted to let your listeners know, let you guys know what we are doing, because there is a paranormal aspect to the TV show. First, I've been contacted by every show out there. Ghost Hunters called me on a pretty regular basis.
Uh-huh.
Every time there was a new producer or associate producer, they figured they'd be the one who was going to get the Franklin Castle. And years ago, I refused to do it because I didn't think there was a reason to do it. I didn't think the house was haunted. After I did sort of start thinking the house might be haunted, I figured, you know, after talking to Paranormal State and Ghost Hunters, and, you know, Zach wanted to do their opening episode for Ghost Adventures here at the castle.
Right.
By the time that had started, I started thinking that if I'm going to do any television that has to do with ghosts, I'm going to do my own show, not do a couple other people's show. So I actually wrote a treatment and started shopping it around to networks and producers.
Yeah.
And right now we have a production deal, and probably next week or the week after, I'm actually going to be able to announce what network we're going to be on. But at this time, I don't have that answer, and I'm not able to say yet. But it will be on a cable network, and everyone will be able to get it, just like Ghost Hunters and Paranormal State. It's going to be Sci-Fi, History, HG, or Discovery. Those are the four that, from what I know, are the four that we're talking to the most. So we're going to show the entire restoration of the house, but the log line of the TV show that I wrote was This Old House Meets Ghost Hunters. So every episode we're going to show my life and what I've got to do to get this done, both physically and politically and neighborhood and Cleveland, but also every new piece of wood and every thing that we do. But at the same time, every episode, we're going to have a different ghost hunting group come in, do an overnight, and give me their analysis at the end of the episode on what they found and how haunted they think the castle is. So as we go through, I'm doing this so that I can find out more and more and come closer to some answers about, you know, exactly, is it haunted, how haunted is it, and who's here, what do we have in what rooms, connecting activities to actual real people. You know, it's going to be interesting, and I want to know these answers. So from beginning, during, and after the restoration, we're going to have ghost hunting groups come in through the entire process all the way to when we open the Franklin Castle. I've been told that, you know, the house may react differently as it sits here with just me in it, to when the actual restoration begins and work's being done every day, and then later when we actually have, you know, many people working and eating and drinking and sleeping in the house. So it'll be interesting to see how the house, how the ghost, how the spirits, the energy, how everything reacts throughout the whole process. So instead of having, like Ghost Hunters, different house, same group, we're going to have the same house with a different group every week. So throughout the entire process, I'm going to say we're probably going to have 24 groups at least.
Right.
And they are talking about, you know, continuing the show even once the castle's completed and keeping it going as a ghost hunting slash restaurant show.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be a good, solid three segments before, during, and after, which they will put into whatever seasons they want.
Right.
And then possibly we'll go into additional seasons and let the ghosts continue to reveal themselves as we show the other activities of the management and the some of our clientele of the Franklin Castle.
Amazing. That sounds like an absolutely wonderful idea there, Mr. Charles Millsaps. Let me ask you, do you have a title for this program?
Right now the working title is One Man's Castle. And I have no idea whether, you know, that's what I wrote.
Right.
Nobody at this point has started to give me alternative titles, but, you know, it's very possible that they will want to come up with something a little more splashy than that. So who knows?
Probably. But so far, I mean, you definitely have something going there, pal. It sounds like it's going to be, you know, a great endeavor. And, of course, it's a beautiful building, and the history is just ridiculous. I mean, we love history on this side of the microphone as para-historians. So, Chef Chick, speak.
That's an actual excellent premise for a show, because they always say that when an old location that is reportedly haunted goes through restoration, or sometimes there's a location where there's never been any reports of a haunt, but once they start restoring an old building,
brings it out.
It brings it out.
But that's also a great concept, because every group does things slightly different, even sure. though the bases are the same. And to see the different activity for yourself that yeah. these groups are getting, that's a great idea.
Yeah, where you got a winner there.
That you know, I don't really watch it anymore because, and I'm not saying anything against it, but I watched Ghost Hunters only because they started calling me. and after, you know, at least from my opinion, after you watch a couple episodes of that,
yeah.
what I see basically is you have the same people walking around in the dark doing basically the same things. Episode after episode after episode True. For seven seasons now. I think we're Thank definitely going to offer the viewers a lot more because the house itself is literally going to change every episode. So you're not going to see the same thing. And like you said, we're going to see different groups, different people, and different people's takes on
yeah.
on what's here. And the other thing is we're going to get the entire picture. I don't believe that you can go into a house and figure out if it's haunted in 6 hours.
True.
We are going to be doing this, you know, ghost hunting every week, week after week. And I really think that this is sort of an unprecedented thing. And especially to televise it, we're going to really find out what's going on here and get some incredible details. And I'm really looking forward to it because I do think, like I said, I think there's something here.
Right.
And we're going to get a true picture of what that is instead of doing one episode of Ghost Hunters and them walking out saying, eh, you know, we didn't find anything or whatever. Well, you know, I've been in here every day of my life for the last 5 years and, you know, something crazy doesn't happen every time I'm in here.
Right.
Got to really put the time in and see what happens over a long period of time.
Especially,
I think that's another great aspect of the show.
Totally. When you get groups and people that actually start communicating with spirits, because we had a similar situation with the Van Horn Mansion. We first started going there, and we've been there quite a few times.
Yeah.
And, you know, activity was minimal and small, but the more and more you communicate, and they realize that you can communicate back with
them.
They get to know you, and the more and more activity you have.
That's also yeah. saying that there's intelligent... entities there.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important, like you said, Charles, too, the idea is so novel because you're taking a story from A to Z, and of course, throughout the life of the program, you get to follow not only the storyline of the castle with the ghosts, but you're definitely getting to see the renovations and as the building actually progresses. So definitely a great concept. Like I said earlier, you got a winner there. And I mean, this is pretty much something that other groups and teams can get a hold of you and try to put in for.
Yeah, we don't have anything set up with the production company yet. And again, the network, we don't, you know, I'm not announcing that yet. But
right.
in general, I know that what we're going to need from ghost hunting groups is, and I've told people that have emailed me this over the last few weeks, we're going to need, you know, photos of everyone in the group, a short bio of everyone in the group, and probably a 5 to 10 minute video of some work you've done in the way of ghost hunting.
Okay.
People, that's one reason I wanted to do this, was start to give people a heads up, let people know, you know, they might already have that stuff together, maybe they need mm-hmm. to get it together, but in the next few weeks, we'll start collecting that. Now, if people want to send it now, again, my website, franklincastleclub.com, there's a button on there, info, you can send some stuff now, although I might say, you know, hold off, but get your stuff together. I'll be announcing more on the MySpace. Mine, there's a few MySpaces that are castle-related.
Yeah.
Mine is the Historic Franklin Castle, and my name, Charles Millsaps, has been name-tagged on it. We'll be putting out information there. Also, Franklin Castle, one word, on Twitter. We'll be releasing information once we have it, so follow the Franklin Castle on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
People can also find me on Facebook, Charles Millsaps on Facebook, and I talk about all the updates that we're doing and the Castle Club and everything that's coming together with that. So, yeah, and then we might have an official website for the TV show or the production company where they will want you to mail these things in, possibly to an address even. and I'll know more about that in the next couple weeks. But people can stay tuned, again, through MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, and my own website, franklincastleclub.com. And as soon as we have information, we're going to put it out there and give you the address to mail your tapes into or the email address to upload things to. But, yeah, again, this is the first time I've done a ghost hunting radio show, but I felt it was ready. It was time to tell people to get ready.
Sweet.
Because I probably get about 5 to 10 requests every week from groups all over the country asking what they need to do to investigate the castle. And, you know, for the last years, I've told people, there's nothing you can do. We don't do investigations.
Right.
Well, now we are. But it's going to be part of the TV show. So,
nice.
Although, like I said, I've probably had thousands of requests over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
We're going to do 24, 36 groups and maybe have some of those groups actually come back from the first season and come back on the third season and do another investigation to see if they get different results when the castle's finished.
You the man.
But, yeah, get ready. And if you're interested, and I know a lot of people are.
Hell yeah. Sign me
this
up.
This is the time, and this is what we're going to do.
Okay.
Hey, John, did you take all that information down to get our application together?
Believe me, I got it all down pat, boys. So, okay, so that pretty much, sums it up in a nutshell. Real fast, though, before we let you go, Charles, I have a question. You were talking about back in the 70s, it was really kind of the heyday for the ghost stories concerning the Franklin Castle, right?
In the mid to late 70s, when the Romano family lived here in the early 70s, they did a lot of newspaper articles about their ghost experiences. And then in the late 70s, the church, the people that were running the church did tours, and they did a lot of things. So the 70s was sort of the first time the castle was nationally known in the media as a haunted place, from what I can tell.
Okay, the reason I'm asking, Charles, is because I remember the late, great Hans Holzer actually supposedly investigated the place back in the mid-70s, and there was a newspaper article in the Dispatch, June 7th, 1975, and it was actually stated in there, they were talking about a ghost they had given the name Karen, and supposedly, she lost her life in the building. It was kind of suspicious, the circumstances, but my point here is the fact that they claimed when they were actually excavating some of these secret passages that supposedly are actually in the walls of the Franklin Castle, that they found human remains in the form of bones. Is that true?
That story is true.
What?
And I've heard a lot of stories about the origin. There's newspaper articles about newspaper articles.
Okay.
When the church, Sam Muscatello and Tim Swoop, they had the house. First, they were doing tours of the house every afternoon and every evening, 14 tours a week, and they definitely did a haunted castle tour. From people that went on those tours and have gone on my tours in more recent times, they tell me that they really gave a tour. Here's where somebody was killed. Here's where somebody was stabbed, hung. I don't know where they got that information. It seems like they were just going off of all of the legends and sort of making a good tour to go with the legends. It was, I think, again, 1978, 1979, when they supposedly found in a secret passage, and it was a blocked-off doorway, originally blocked off in the 1920s because the castle, specifically the first floor of the castle, was used as a speakeasy during Prohibition.
Hey.
And this room had been blocked off and to hide the still that was in part of the downstairs. This wasn't fully opened back up until the mid-1980s when Michael DeVinco bought the house.
Uh-huh.
And in the 70s, they opened up part of it, and supposedly that is where the bones were found.
The lovely bones.
I've heard a lot of different stories and read a few different articles. Again, some articles reference other newspaper articles.
Right.
I did some research through the Cleveland Police Department with a retired detective and a current detective that are friends of mine.
Uh-huh.
They couldn't find any evidence of an investigation done during that time.
Okay.
But some people say it was more of a publicity stunt for their haunted castle tours.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say that it really was human remains. there was an interesting quote in one of the articles, one of the original articles here in Cleveland, where it wasn't the Cleveland coroner's office, but it was Sam Muscatello's own doctor who was quoted saying that they were indeed very old bones.
Gotcha.
I always thought that was amusing because he didn't say they were human bones and he didn't say how old they were. They were just very old bones.
Old bones.
But other articles, and again, as we talked about off-air earlier, I'm learning more about Mr. Holzer. I didn't know that much about him until
was a great man.
Just a few weeks ago. So I'm going to do some more research, and we'll find out exactly, again, his daughter that we talked about. I'm going to see what she knows, and maybe she has some of that information for me. And again, every week I learn new stuff about the real history and the legends and what went on here, and I think that's going to continue for the rest of my life.
I think so, and that's one of the best things about being alive. You learn something new every day. Mr. Charles Millsaps, I hope that we get a chance to actually see you and talk with you again at some point. It was a pleasure having you on the program. Really quickly, obviously, you gave out all kinds of information. Just one last-ditch effort here. Give out your number one website again, your URL. Say it again to the world, my friend.
FranklinCastleClub.com has mostly all of our information about the Franklin Castle Club when when the restoration is finished.
Right.
But you can also get more information about the TV show and what we're going to need from ghost hunting groups on Twitter, Franklin Castle, one word. MySpace is the historic Franklin Castle, also tagged back to Charles Millsaps.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on Facebook, and so you can find me there and more information about what's going on here every day.
Par excellence. So, Mr. Charles Millsaps, thank you very much for coming on and talking about the Franklin Castle and your fantastic TV show coming up. Do me a favor. You're very welcome. Do not hang up yet, though, please. We want to say goodbye to you off the air properly. So, folks, at home, we're taking our final break of the evening. It's John Crescito, Brandon Bristol, Marty Shefchik, and, of course, Ryan Willard is here in
spirit.
There you go, boys. Be back in a minute. This is Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal.
All you beautiful people, we've come to the end of the line as far as this week's program is concerned. Obviously, May 11th, 2010. Great, great interview. First time ever interview, in fact, on the radio for Mr. Charles Millsaps, the owner of the Franklin Castle. Thank you, Charles. We'll be seeing you down the line this year. Everybody, check out the Franklin Castle website and support the project. Beautiful place, great man, and they're doing a TV show. So coming back at you next week. I don't really want to tell you too much. Obviously, we have a whole bunch of guests, and their programs are going to be upcoming now that Beyond Ghosts is back in the swing of things. Excuse me, we're going to talk to cryptozoologist Ron Coffey at some point, Ouija board expert Mr. Robert Murch, or we just call him Murch, and of course, we have tons of events coming up. Beyond Ghosts is not trying to make the money. We're trying to support these locations that are hosting the event. Come on out, do some ghost hunting. Go to the beyondghosts.com events page. Great one, June 12th, 2010, here in Williamsville, New York. We're talking the Eagle House, return engagement. Place was fantastic, a lot of activity. We also have one August 13th, 2010, here in Buffalo, the famous Shays Theater. And the big, big, big one as far as the month of August, end of the month, August 28th, 2010. Come hang out in Philadelphia, PA with the Beyond Ghost Gang. We're doing Eastern State Penitentiary. All this information and more, you got to go to beyondghost.com. Check out the events page and babies. I'll tell you something, you want to criticize, that's fine, but do it for the right reasons. Folks at home, we'll see you next week on the radio. And ciao, bella!